Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Whenever you're listening to this, thank you for tuning in to another episode of And That's That on That.
A monthly podcast that no one asked for, but here we are anyways, and we're glad you're here too. My name is Gavin Bailey.
And I'm Haley Chapman, and on today's show, we have an immensely talented guest joining us all the way from Denmark, multi-platinum singer-songwriter, Mr. Tim Shu.
Yes, one of my very closest friends. We're also going to be introducing some new segments, some games with our guests to spice things up a bit. We've appropriately called this segment
A Game with a Guest.
That will be featuring a new game every month.
Plus a pit and peek you don't want to miss. All this and more coming up. Stay right there.
Stay right there.
Your systems are offline.
Another month has gone by.
Another year's gone by. Another month's gone by.
I just feel like these months are incredibly long, but here we are. We're doing it every month, and we're so glad you're listening.
Happy May, everyone. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
I hope you had a great celebration. This episode is coming out on the 5th of May, technically. But we hope you're feeling all right from the night before, if you had a little celebration.
Happy birthday month, Gavin.
It's my birthday month. It's Taurus season.
Taurus season.
About to be Gemini season. I am a Gemini. Maybe that's something we can talk about this episode.
Hold your judgment for now.
Yeah.
Geminis.
I get it. You know, Geminis have a bad rep.
Yeah, so do Scorpios. I mean, right. Does anyone, any sign have a good rep?
I think there's pros and cons of every zodiac sign.
I actually like Taurus season. I like Tauri.
Tauri.
I like Tauri. My mom, dad, and brother are all Tauri. And I actually
only know a few Taurus people in my life. I don't know a whole lot about that.
They're pretty solid people.
Okay.
They're adventurous, but they're also stubborn. They're like black and white. Like they're either black or white. There's no gray area.
Right. No gray.
So you never know what's coming with them. But I do love them. They're solid friends.
I always used to think like because my birthday was on the 29th, I was like a Taurus Gemini, but I relate fully.
Well, I recently learned that like cusp is not a thing.
Okay.
I guess it's like because whenever you were born, the stars were in a certain place. So no matter like even if it was the day of like on the very cusp, it doesn't matter because at that exact moment that you were born, the stars were in a certain place and it doesn't matter how close
right.
you were to the other season. So cusper is out there.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Well, if you are listening and you've never really heard about astrology or like zodiac signs or whatever, there's many different aspects to your birth chart mm-hmm. than just like your regular zodiac sign, which is
your
considered
sign.
Your sun sign, right?
There's your rising and your moon and your
sun,
Venus and
those
your
are,
Mars.
The top three though are like your sun, your moon, and your rising.
Yes.
My sun signs, I'm a Gemini. My rising is a Scorpio and my moon is a Leo. So I have...
It's a hot mess.
It's a hot mess in my brain and it makes so much sense. There's this app that I'm sure you've heard of. It's called CoStar. You put in your birth date, the time that you were born, where you were born. It gives you all of this information on...
And like daily horoscopes and stuff.
I don't know if I really relate with like the daily horoscopes as much as I do with just like the basic placings of my chart.
Yeah.
Because like I used to read horoscopes all the time, but I feel like now they are very generic. Sometimes they're really like
accurate,
but
I'm a Scorpio sun, moon, and a Pisces rising.
Yeah. It's a lot of darkness.
But the Pisces and the Scorpio cancel themselves out. Like it balances itself out because they're on the opposite sides of the spectrum.
Got it.
So I'm a well-rounded emotional ass bitch. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
I'll own it. I'll own it.
I am as well. But at least we don't have any Cancer in our charts.
Ooh, sorry, any Cancers out there.
I just feel like if I had any Cancer in my chart,
it'd be too much.
It would be over.
What's your beef with Cancers?
It's not, there's no beef. It's just like the emotions.
Yeah, the deep emotions. I actually have a few Cancer friends and I love them. Probably because I'm water sign through and through with Scorpio and Pisces and they are also a water sign. So it's just, we get each other. We understand the sensitivities each other feel. Mm-hmm.
I understand. I think some people listening might be very skeptical or hesitant about these things. And that's fine because I have been my whole life until recently.
Yeah,
I've really gotten into astrology and more, you know, spiritual things. I've really kind of come into my own
spiritual awakening.
Yeah. That's happening. What this last year has helped me with. If anything, if I've learned anything or have taken anything from the last year of chaos, it is being
more in touch with yourself,
more in touch with myself and
the universe,
my higher power.
Love that.
So with that said, we're going to move on because this could go for hours.
We'll do another episode with just astrology stuff.
I want to have an astrologer on the show. Yep. I think that's something that we should definitely do. So buckle up for that because that's going to be incredible. We talked about our psychic experience last episode, which we didn't really get to talk about the full thing because it would probably take about 3 hours to say everything, but we gave the gist. So I want to dive more into that because I'm so intrigued by everything.
That'd be awesome.
That the psychic said. And I want to go again. I want to go to another psychic.
Let's go to a different one.
Different psychic,
I'm a little spooked by the one we saw.
I'm not going to put us in that space.
Yeah.
But
on that note,
We've been doing this monthly and we're going to continue to do the podcast monthly. But we wanted to give you some updates because as this is our first season, we're kind of figuring things out a bit. We're going to have 10 episodes this season and then
next season,
we're going to introduce something very cool and you'll be able to watch us.
You'll be able to see us visually
next season.
Season two will start after episode 10 of season one. Right now we're on episode five.
We've still got a little ways to go, but we wanted just to give you a little excitement that we're working on right now. We're working on, and that's that on that 2.0
currently. Baby.
So it's only up from here. So if you've been with us since the beginning, thanks for listening. And we can't wait to see where this show leads us.
Retweet. All right, that brings us to
Pit and Peak,
your favorite segment.
Pit
mine
and
too.
Peak of the week, of the month.
Of the month.
I'm just going to say week because it sounds better. But
it does.
What do you guys think about sending in your pit and peaks?
So that we can read them
on
here.
The show. Preferably pits. I don't really care too much about the good things going on in your life. I mean, good for you, but we want to hear.
We want to hear the nitty gritty.
The nitty gritty, like
the story.
We're going to pick the best or worst pit that we think. Yeah.
The best, worst pit.
Exactly.
Love that. Okay.
I'm excited for this, but I think Haley, I can feel the steam from here coming out of her ears. So I think she's got a bit more of a pit and peak than I do. So while she gets, into this, I'm going to think of mine. So take it away.
Okay. So the ongoing saga of being single and dating and talking to guys and whatnot continues. So basically, I remember, I think a couple episodes ago, I talked about how I was ghosted. Which was crazy.
Paranormal.
Okay, but here's the thing. So after that, I saw him in person. Like I ran into him. And the next weekend, and I was so honest with him, and he was acting like everything was fine, and he was like, "Oh yeah, like when are we hanging out?" Blah blah blah, and I was like, "Oh, do you not remember that you completely ignored me and then
good for
left,
you.
And then decided to act like everything was fine?" And I told him everything that he did, and he like pulled up our DMs and he was like, "Oh my God, I totally forgot to respond, blah blah blah."
Ew.
And I was like, "Oh yeah, okay." And he responded like right then and there, and I was like, "No, just no,
that's not how it works.
No,
sorry, bud."
And I was like, "You know what, I've got some way higher standards than that." And I told him I told him, okay, well, if you so badly want to see me, like you literally post on Instagram more than I do. You have 2 seconds to respond and you didn't. So I don't need to try anymore. And then he was like, I really do want to see you. I want to take you on a date and blah, blah, blah. And I go, okay, then take my number, plan something and let me know. And he goes, why do I need your number? I have your Instagram. And
oh,
I said,
my God.
Okay, we're done here. And I literally got up and walked away. And then I unfollowed him on Instagram. Good. Because adios, amigo.
Yikes.
But then, so that's just one part to it. Then met another guy, was talking to him. It was going great until it wasn't. I'm not going to go into too much detail about what happened, but one thing that continues to like come up throughout my life and my life experiences, and maybe someone else can relate to this, but the idea that like I can be intimidating continuously like comes around. And I've always been like an outgoing, bubbly girl with lots of friends that isn't afraid to like speak my mind. I'm not afraid to go to a party where I don't know anyone and make new friends. Like I'm just not shy. I'll say that. And
yeah.
Now when it comes to dating, intimidating can be a tricky word, because placing the word intimidating on women is something that really kind of frustrates me. Because putting that word on a woman just kind of automatically gives a connotation of them just being too much, like being sure. Too loud, too opinionated, too passionate, too emotional, and just like too general or too much in general. And it just kind of perpetuates the idea that this woman has a threshold that she has to fit into, and don't be too quiet, but don't be too loud. Don't be too shy, but don't be too outspoken. It's like saying stay in your box that we think you should fit into so that everyone else stays comfortable. And it's just so annoying to place an unrealistic expectation on a person just because of what the world says that they should be.
For sure.
And so being a woman and society says, you know, women, you're hoping to be pursued by a man and you should be this delicate, polished little flower with a perfect pink bow tied around it and like a princess in a tower waiting to be rescued. No, this someone, I guess, that I was talking to, that I'm no longer talking to, apparently was intimidated by me. And that's why it didn't work out. So listen closely.
Been
I'm going to say this.
That.
Yeah. I'm going to say this once because I think it's really important to share what I've learned from this. The right person will never be intimidated by your passions, your energy, your opinions, your personality. They're going to admire all of those things about you.
Yeah.
A relationship is a team. You gain a teammate when you gain a partner. Teammates don't intimidate you. They inspire you. They motivate you and they don't steer you away. I don't want to be intimidating. I want to be admired. And I'll gladly walk away from any guy that sees my confidence or my self-worth or my passions or my personality as a threat.
Because 100%.
Those are all things that make me who I am. And I'm really proud of who I am. So cheers to the girls or the guys that are told they're too much or too intimidating because you're not afraid to be yourself. So it doesn't have to be lonely being alone, okay?
Absolutely.
Cheers.
And that is that. Okay. Wow.
Thank
amazing.
You. That was my pit that turned into a peak because I learned that not to waste my time on that.
Absolutely.
Anymore. I'm so exhausted.
There is no point in wasting time with somebody that doesn't appreciate who you are.
No.
For you.
Or and just like sees who you are as just like too much. Like,
right.
And then you feel like you have to just like put yourself in this like smaller box.
Yeah.
That's just not, it's not fair.
You know, I wish I had more to say on everything you just said. I'm obviously okay. Not a woman, so I don't know the struggles that you face. But as a gay man, I definitely can, I guess, empathize in a way,
yeah.
More so than a straight man would be able to. I feel more connected with women than I do men.
Yeah.
In every way. Relationships, I wish I wasn't gay because men are just so incredibly difficult to
navigate.
It's
so unfortunate that we like men.
It is. I don't like men. I'm attracted to
exactly.
men.
Exactly. Okay. We love men. We love you guys. We're just...
I've just had the worst experience with people. And I'm at this place now in my life where like I'm so much happier just on my own and like doing my own thing. Thinking back to like when I was in relationships, I feel like there was always just like a pit in my stomach or something making me anxious about what was going on. And I'm just not here for that.
It means that wasn't the one.
Yeah.
And I'm not even trying to find the one right now. I'm trying to have hot girl summer.
Hot girl summer, 100%.
We
deserve that.
Yeah. And I was at first being pursued and I was like, okay, cool. And then all of a sudden, I guess I got too intimidating, which is just so annoying. Stupid. But anyway.
People who find you intimidating are clearly self-conscious with themselves. Intimidation, I think, is more, it's definitely an insecurity thing.
For sure.
People who are inspired and who are like, you know, admire your success and stuff like that, they are successful in their own right.
Exactly. They don't feel threatened by your success.
Right. Like they have their own thing going on. You want to find somebody that is a solid person by themselves.
Exactly.
And that's kind of, you know, that's something I've been working on forever.
Yeah. And it happens when it happens. I just wanted to share that because maybe some girls out there have gone through that as well, but never be ashamed of who you are. Even if it means having to sacrifice something or walk away from something, it's not worth it. And I found myself at first just being like, oh my God, I am too much. Like, oh, I am. I did be too loud. I did, you know, X, Y, Z. Like, and then I was like, what? No. Why am I basing my feelings on myself off of someone else's opinion?
Exactly.
Not worth it.
As soon as you can eliminate the opinion of somebody else, from like entering your mind and controlling the things that you do and the things that you feel, because that does happen even subconsciously. Mm-hmm. You become such a strong person on the inside. It's the best feeling in the world to really not give a shit what anyone else thinks. Like I'm so close to being at that point. I feel like I have been at that point, but it's weird.
Yeah. I feel like that's why I'm grateful for this pit and peak, because I learned that lesson, and it's hard because I feel like the universe was testing me, being like, oh yeah, you really don't care what people think about you. Yeah. Here's this. See right. how you do with this. And I was like, you know what? I'm so over being self-conscious about the fact that I might be more opinionated or more outgoing or more loud than other people, and that's just who I am. I've always been the girl with talks too much on her report card.
But that's so, me too.
I've always been that girl.
That's why we host a podcast, so we can talk it out.
Exactly.
And yeah, no, but I feel you. I think that there's never such thing as being too much. You either are who you are and people accept that, or they don't, and you move on.
And that's that on that, guys. But, sorry for that rant. But
no, oh my God, don't apologize. That was incredible. I'm so glad you said all of those words that I wouldn't have been able to formulate. So thank you.
Well, hot girl summer has officially commenced
super soon. My pit.
So what about you, Gav?
These are so hard for me. I don't know why. They're easier for like a daily pit and peak, but like for monthly, I feel so
true.
Pressured.
That's
to
why
have
we
a
need
good
other
one.
People's.
Right. I know.
Read.
I want to have people send in their pit and peaks because I really episode. Want to. Yeah. So if you want, DM it to us on Instagram, and that's that pod.
Yo.
That'll be the quickest way for us to see it. DM us on Instagram.
IG.
But my pit and peak, let's see. I'm just not really sure if I have a pit or a peak this month, but that's okay. You know, I feel like you said a lot in this episode, and I just kind of want to leave it at that, other than I did quit my job which was a big milestone. quit my job, and then I just got hired. Basically, aside from music, I am very passionate about the mental health world and that field and making some kind of difference if I can. So I just got hired at a residential treatment center up in Malibu. And yeah, so I start that job in a couple of weeks. I'm very excited.
Yay!
So now we have to censor these podcasts even more.
Yeah.
Just kidding. We do have an incredible show for you. Mr. Tim Hsu is here. Why don't you give us some of his accolades, Haley?
We've got a wonderful guest for you guys today. We've got Danish recording artist and platinum selling singer-songwriter Tim Hsu here with us today. Tim and Gavin have been friends for years now after writing their hit song together, Novocaine, which Tim released in 2017 and now has 1.7 million streams. After 7 years as a musical world traveler, Tim has landed in Denmark with a new album, a documentary, tour dates, and of course, a fan base that stretches across the globe. Tim just released his debut album, Hero Loser, last week. You can stream it now on all platforms. We're so stoked to have him today to chat about all things music, life, and all of the above. Without
the
further
above.
Ado, please welcome our friend Tim Hsu.
So welcome, Tim Hsu, to our podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So let's see.
So Gavin, how do you know Mr. Tim?
Well, first, yeah, I wanted to basically, you were definitely on the list of people that we wanted to have on the show. It felt wrong having other artists before you, but you've just been such a busy man that we had to make do. But we're happy to have you on today. And Tim is one of my closest friends, and we met almost, I think, like probably 6 years ago or so. Maybe
yeah.
more than that, around 2015, and was introduced by a close friend.
Thomas, we talked about Thomas
before. We talked about Thomas in the last episode, Thomas Barso, who started OC Hit Factory, which is how I met Haley, and mm-hmm. also Tim. That's how we met originally back in the day. There was a song that we wrote the first day we met. I think Thomas had set up a session for me to come and write with you. I think you just asked me about this song, like, recently, and I had no idea what you were talking about.
Right.
I was like, what song is that? I don't
remember.
You didn't
even want to claim your rights to the song that you wrote.
I genuinely just did not remember writing that song. Does that ever happen to you? Like, you just forget?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely does. I think that was definitely our first meeting the first time I met you and we wrote, you were a big part of that C part of that song, and you just didn't want to have anything to do with it. You didn't even remember the fact that you had written it.
Come on, Gavin.
But we've written so many songs since then. It was, I feel like not too far after that, you were in LA, staying down in Orange County at one point as well, where I had lived, and you were staying in Laguna. And I remember that was one of our first sessions as well. We wrote some songs down at this little cottage in Laguna Beach. And then after that, the most memorable session was in the hills when we wrote Novocaine. That was crazy. I feel like that was just one of the songs that came out so naturally and organically. And
yeah,
those are the best.
It was incredible. I mean, that's one of my favorite songs still to this day that we've written. And I, not to you know, brag, but I feel like that song definitely.
It's all right. You're not in Denmark, so please brag. That's one of the reasons I couldn't wait to do this podcast, because we're actually allowed to brag a little bit. We're not in Denmark. We're in
the Americas.
We're in the Americas, and we're allowed to say that, hey, I'm pretty fucking good. Come on.
Is that like not a thing in Denmark? People are very humble. Is that kind of
that? I wouldn't even call it humble. I think it's a mis conception or whatever that word is.
Okay.
It's, I wouldn't call it humble. Okay. So we have a thing called the jungle law. It's in Danish, it's the Jantelov. And Kevin, we've been introduced to this before, but I normally, when I try to explain this to Americans, it's like, I explain it by saying like crab, like imagine crabs in a bucket, like crabs in a bucket. And they're all trying to get out of this bucket. They're all down there and they all want to get out. And they climb and they climb and they climb. They're trying to reach that, like, get out and have freedom. They're trying to reach America. and once in a while, one of these crabs will latch on to the edge of the bucket and they'll almost make it out. But right before that happens, then these motherfuckers on the fucking bottom. Are you allowed to swear on your program, by the way?
Yes, of course.
Okay, here we go. Okay, cool. Once in a while, one of these crabs on the bottom of this bucket will be like, you know what? Get down from there. And they'll just latch onto their little claws and like grab them and pull them back down so they're all on the very same level. Instead, of just be like, yo, why don't we just like grab onto each other, climb on top of each other, and we're all out of the bucket. We're all in the beautiful land of freedom. We're all like on the next level. And that's kind of like what the jungle law in Denmark is like. I don't know. I kind of feel like it's like the smaller the country, the smaller there's like some small mindedness going on, without saying too much bad things about my country.
I can kind of understand that, I guess, like with that, that's a good analogy. Mm-hmm. Is it more of
like competition?
Well, I feel like it's not one person is better than the other.
Exactly. It's very, we're all equal. And if you think anything more than this other person, you're like, yo, chill.
I wish that's how it was here. Damn.
There's good and bad sides to both of it.
Yeah,
exactly. And if you get like big doses of that, it's too much. And the opposite of as well, I guess.
Definitely. That is interesting. I had no idea. I didn't know it was like that. Cause I'm so used to it over here. Everyone's just like every man for themselves.
Well, my point in bringing up bragging to begin with was Novocaine, I feel like for me, was the song that really opened up a lot of doors for writing for me. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the first song that got me into a lot of rooms to co-write with people, because anytime I would talk to people after I met them and stuff, like that was the song that I was like, holy shit, I need to write with this guy. So that means a lot to me.
Can I stop you right there?
Go
That's
for
exactly
it.
Exactly how I still feel about you. Like I still listen to that song and I'm like, holy shit, I need to write with that dude. And I could literally just like text him and be like, yo, let's write a song. But it still feels like that. It's like, it's just such a gem, and it's such a out of body experience to have written that song. And I think we're going to feel like that for the rest of our fucking lives.
For sure. I think there's just a handful of songs throughout your life that you'll write that you'll never forget and that will be with you forever and just have such a special meaning.
Yeah.
And that's definitely one of those songs for me. I've written hundreds of songs and that one just has stuck with me. But yeah, I mean, it went from writing Novocaine, that was your first song, to hit a million streams. Yep. And it was,
you got the plaque right behind
there's
you.
There's the plaque.
Yes.
Talking about making it for yourself. Right now, I'm showing you a gold plaque or whatever you guys call it.
Plaque.
I actually made it myself. It's the moment when Novocaine hit 1 million streams. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna make my own gold plaque for this.
I love it.
Wow,
America. A Dane would not ever make a gold plaque for himself, but an American, yep.
Oh my God.
Okay, that's a good example.
You're an American at heart as well.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe a good mix. I think it's the good.
Yeah,
totally.
A definite mix. What is it called when like you're an honorable American?
There you go.
There we go.
But yeah, I think I mean, it's just been so crazy to watch from Novocaine to now. You've released so much music, which is so incredible. You're just a phenomenal writer and artist, and I've always been such a big fan ever since I met you. But I think the coolest part of the songs coming out is just that I was a part of the initial creation of like this project in a way. And it's just cool to have watched that blossom over the last few years and to see where you are now and your album just coming out now being number two on the charts for vinyl and
so cool.
Big things happening for you already. It's barely been a week since your album got released. People listening to this, we're recording in April, but
I want to jump into that one because I think you touched base on something that's really beautiful in, like, we all as musicians or writers or like anybody who wants to make a career and make a career out of their own artistry or whatever they want to do. It's a very lonely journey. And it's always 100%. Like, it's sometimes you question your own ego and you're like, am I too egotistical or am I like too much or whatever? But I think it's so beautiful when you tie that whole ego solo journey into relationships like you and I have, or whoever. Even with you, Haley, I haven't ever met you, but the fact that we're crossing paths and we're sharing experiences and all that, and my solo journey becomes something that you guys can learn from, or I can learn from you guys, and it all just becomes like this. It becomes more than just yourself, and I think we all need to find something in life that's bigger than ourselves. And so that's my biggest compliment is when somebody goes, you know, like this meant something for me, or this. So when you're like, yo, writing Novocaine with you and for you, Tim, that kind of opened doors for me. It's like, that's the biggest compliment that you can ever, because it did something for somebody else than just me.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Definitely. Yep.
Absolutely. That's an amazing way to put that. I always try and find, you know, something bigger, because it is like you can get caught up in the everyday of just trying to get to the next big thing. And it's very easy to get caught up when you are in the place that you've always wanted to be.
Yeah.
And it's like, once you're in that place, you kind of get used to it. So then you
want the next thing.
Yeah.
Like you just want to keep moving on and never really take a minute to appreciate where you are.
Exactly.
Because it just becomes, everyone just gets so caught up and stuff. And Gavin and I were talking about this yesterday, and we were talking about microwave blessings. So it's
microwave,
like, do you remember
blessings,
that?
Yes.
So it's like, instead of like waiting for things to heat up the right way, you just want to throw it in the microwave and
you just want
really
them.
Quickly.
You want to them.
Heat it up so quick. But we were also talking about how when something gets so like on fire so quick, the quicker it goes out. So it's better to, you know, have that slow burn and have that slow rise to where you want to go, because that's more sustainable and you're going to have more longevity in the long run.
Yeah.
So, that's another reason why we wanted to do this podcast, is to kind of talk about stuff like that with people who have been through it as well. So
for sure. And I feel like if that, especially for young people and young artists, I work with a lot of young artists, and I've recently had a few young artists being signed or having interests from labels and whatnot. And they're all like 20 or 21 years old. And you can just sense that how in the world are these young humans supposed to understand what's going on, or supposed to like take this and elevate it into something that's more than just a quick fix in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, it's weird. And take, for example, me, I'm 33 years old, and it took me 15 years to release my debut album. Like that's a long ass fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously since I was 16 or 17 years old, I had the dream that, okay, I'm going to be a rock star. I called my mom and I told her over the phone, and I told her straight up, yo, I'm not going to have an education. I'm going to be a rock star. And, you know, like see her just like throwing up and be like, fuck my life. Like, you know, like shit, my son is going off the fucking wagon here. And how are we going to support him doing this? I think, You know, I thought that dream was going to be fulfilled within a year or two.
Quickly.
For sure.
I thought I was going to like put it in the microwave and just like nuke the fuck out of that career. And it would just be, you know, like
ready to go.
Yeah,
but that's how it seems in a way. When you get thrown into the music industry, everything is so fast paced that it seems like it's going to happen quick for you.
Well, and it seems like from the outsider point of view, like the fan point of view, when an artist has a number one hit, you're like, oh, that was overnight. It was so quick. But
there's a lot 10 of years stories, behind that.
For sure. And there's a lot of living, like barely being able to pay rent and like not, you know, not having the most sustainable, like comfortable way of living because you're going after what your dream is. And it's usually never an overnight success. And usually if it is, that's not very long lasting.
There's like that, or at least I've been told in Denmark that I guess that's pretty universal too, that there's a poll or whatever word that is. But people who succeed after they're 30, they have like a 90% shot of actually making a career out of it for the rest of their lives. And people under 30 who get their breakthrough before they're 30, they have like a maximum, like, and I'm talking maximum span of 10 years. And then it's absolutely like done.
I've always been told growing up, like I've always just been guided to not take the quick way to become successful. And that's been incredibly hard for me because I am
especially
the most
when you're
impatient person that I know.
And especially not even just because you're impatient and you know, I don't even know if you know how talented you are, but if you do, then of course it's really hard to like wait for that moment. But especially when people around you, and I feel like that happens to a lot of talented people, they have all these people around them and they're all just cheering them on. And they're like, you have executives or A&Rs at labels going like, yo, you're the best. You're the boom, boom, boom. And people at venues and whatnot, they're all just like, fuck, you're amazing. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's been the hardest part because you've been like almost like praised and you've been put on this pedestal by your friends and your family and business people. And then nothing, like, I wish like more people would actually like tell you straight up, yo, this is going to take 15 years. Like,
if I got in the music industry and someone told me that when I got in at 10 years old, I would have hated it. I mean, I at least would have had a bit more like insight to what it really took to get to this point and get to where I'm not even at yet. Yeah. But it's like you can't discount though how far you've come because there, you know, you still have so much further to go, but you have accomplished so much already. And it's because even when you first started, like when you won Danish Eurovision, how old were you?
21 or 22.
So that was at like basically kind of the beginning of your career, right?
Yeah. And even more importantly, the beginning of my youth, like the beginning of you know, where you're like you start to feel like independent and you start to feel like, okay, I'm going to be a man someday. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do my shit in the world. And you're all of a sudden in front of, I forget the number, but I'm pretty sure it was 220 million viewers, you know,
wow.
And like that whole thing is like, I was, when I look back on that and I look back on the journey before I became this whole like homeless kind of vagabond nomad lifestyle kind of guy, I was so like ungrateful of where I was, because if you get that whole thing at an early age and you can name like Michael Jackson, you can name Justin Bieber, it's like it's just me. And I experienced like 1% of that success, and I can't fathom how Justin Bieber is actually still alive, or, you know,
right.
It's crazy. You're so ungrateful because you're born into it, or you get it at such an early age that it just becomes this like normality, and it's not fucking normal. It's like it's the craziest thing.
We had Svea on the podcast a couple episodes ago, and she's 22. 22. I think she just turned 22.
Yeah, she's a doll.
I was telling her, I was like, you are so young for everything that you've accomplished. Like I'm 25 and I can't imagine like seeing like her at 22 just feels so young to me. And I told her, I was like, you're so young. She goes, I don't feel young. She's like, I feel so old. Like, I feel like I've been doing this for so long. And I'm like, you're young. Remember that. Like,
but when you've get accomplished in so much to the industry, it ages you like, tremendously.
Sure.
Not to like ages you, like that doesn't sound that like that person, but it really does. Like by the time I was 15 and had been doing things like really professionally for like 5 years in studios, writing for people like in sessions at 12 years old, I was burnt out. I was like, how am I not close to where I want to be yet? Like I've been working my ass off. Like I don't understand. Like I know I'm good enough. Why is this taking so long? And that's, I think a lot of people feel that way and then will just give up because it's not coming to them quick enough. But I think the people who stay in it and continue to push and follow that ambition and that dream, like those are the people who are going to
like get there and stay there.
Exactly.
For sure. That was the biggest, you know, my manager, Gavin Manfred.
Yeah.
That was probably the first thing he told me. And he signed me like, I don't know, five years ago ish. Where I was a little bit older to actually understand what he told me. And it was just the fact that he was just like, yo, Tim, you got all the assets. You got everything you need to be a world star. Like it's, you can check them all off and I've checked the boxes for you. Otherwise I wouldn't be signing you, but I'm just going to tell you right now what's going to make the difference for you to be making a career out of this and actually be living off of it for the rest of your life. It's patience. It's not your talent from here on. Like it's just patience. And if you have it in you to hold it out and stick it out, I promise you 100% you're going to make it. And guess what? I'm kind of making it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely. No, it's incredible. It's so incredible to watch you. Like it's been it's cool to watch just this last year, especially, you know, COVID and everything, like it's shut things down. Obviously it has in the music industry and things, but it's been a time for music to really, a lot of artists are getting really successful during this time. Mm-hmm. I feel like your streams have gone up, like your followers have gone up. I think it's just like, even though in the last year you have been working for it the last 15 years, like, but even though it's just kind of happening now, it's probably going to happen really quick once it does. But that typically I think is how it happens. Like after a certain amount of years of putting in the work, it's like when it does happen, it happens quick. And I think that's going to happen for you very, very soon.
Well, and I feel like I'm kind of like surpassed that point where it's like where I'm putting everything on, like, or where I'm putting the goal as my success, like.
Sure.
And I think that's why I'm successful is because I actually truly, I'm not just saying it to be like, girl, I don't care if I make it. Fuck yeah, I want to be on the fucking, I want to be number one. I still do. I'm still 15 years old inside of my 33-year-old heart. Or however old it actually is in the spiritual world, we have no idea. But I think that balance of just realizing that there's actually no goal. There's just getting up in the morning and that's it.
Yeah.
And you can decide to feel bummed out waking up because you didn't reach that goal that you thought you were going to reach tomorrow, or you can decide to wake up and actually feel successful because you put the bar lower to something else that you decided to succeed with. Like a good example from my career, my life was, I recently just sold out the Danish Royal Theater in Copenhagen, and I put on that show all by myself. It was at a time where the bookers of venues, they didn't really want to book me, or you know, I felt like, okay, what am I going to do? And you know what? I'm just going to actually just do this by myself. I'm going to rent this Danish Royal Theater, and I knew it had like 750 seats. And I was like, okay, how do I get out and have people understand the urgency for them to come and why it's important? I got to get face to face with them. So I started this whole little tour of touring living rooms, and I got to sit there and I got to practice to just sit there and talk to people face to face, play my songs and tell them my story, tell them all of, you know, the Hollywood saga and all the American little funny stories. And just doing that myself. And I knew that it wasn't going to put me in a position where the whole industry would be like, yeah, now let's put Tim on a tour. But still though, it did have some, I did it myself and I sold out the place, but that all started with like me saying, okay, I want to sell out 50 people concerts. Let's do 50 people. Instead of thinking if I don't sell 1,000 tickets, I'm a failure. No, I turned it around and I was like, okay, can you sell 50 tickets like in a month or like two? And I did that. And then I felt great about that. And that just made me feel like, holy shit, I did that. Well, then I've got to be able to do that times 10. And then I sold out the fucking Royal Danish Theater. You know, and it's, yeah. So if you can find a way to think about these things in a super practical way, instead of thinking about them in the way that the industry or your surroundings or your friends or whoever measures success for you, you're left with your own expectations instead of being left with people's expectations. And I think that's the whole, you know, moral to whatever story I just told.
Do you think that the reason that you kind of wanted to invest in doing Shoe Camp was because you had a passion for young artists starting out in the industry and you were one yourself and you kind of wanted to be more in that world? Is that kind of why you started doing the camps?
Well, I mean, I think actually, the whole reason for this annual camp where my followers and my fans, they have the chance of, or they get the opportunity to come and spend 3 days with me and get like invited into my world and songwriting and all that stuff. I actually think it goes way back to something even more, I don't know, like back when I was 15, I watched a live DVD or a concert with John Mayer. And all of a sudden that's when my whole world just changed. And I was like, holy shit, you can write your own songs and you can create this world, your own actual world where people can actually get something out of your world. So that's when my whole idea of creating my own rules and creating this world started. And I remember sending a letter to John Mayer at the age of 15 or 16.
Oh my God.
And I was just with my whole body for like 3 months. I just wished that he would write back to me. I never got any letter of any sorts back. and I promised myself from that day on, I was like, and that's again, probably a non-Danish way of thinking. But I thought to myself, Tim, if you ever get just one fan who wants an answer from you, or if you get like 1,000 fans who wants like an answer from you, you're going to do everything in your freaking power to get back to these people and to try and relate to these people and to try and invite them into your world. So I started out my whole career and my whole breakthrough with like being super personal with the fan base. And so that whole camp idea just came up because I actually wanted to like, I thought it was weird having strangers applauding you on and supporting you like they did without knowing who the fuck they were. So instead of feeling freaked out by being recognized when you walk down the street, I thought it was cooler to actually know who the fuck was like waving to me and saying, hi, Tim.
Right.
And I could be like, yo, hi, Luis. You know, how's your day? You know?
That's
and
cool.
So the canvas is kind of a way to like bring that, give it back and bring it down. And I don't know. And now it's turned into a festival where we're going to have Gavin Bailey perform.
Hey.
Yes.
Very excited.
So cool.
Haley will be there. I'm going to drag her even if I have to.
Yes, I will be there.
That's awesome. So we decided in this podcast we wanted to do a little game segment.
Yes. And you might need a minute to think of things for this game, but we have time.
So this game is called Two Facts and a Fib.
It's like two truths and a lie,
two facts and a fib.
Yeah.
So we're going to go around. Haley's going to say her two facts and a fib. I'm going to say my two facts and a fib, and you're going to say yours, but you have to guess Haley and I's, and then we have to guess yours.
Got you.
And whoever wins gets bragging rights.
Yeah. Got you.
Okay, do you want to go first?
Okay. I'm going to go first. I'm so bad at this game.
You have good ones. You wrote down good ones.
Let's see.
You got this.
Okay. Just to, get to know us a little better, get to know our guests a little better. These are kind of stupid. Here we go. All right. One. So you gotta guess which one's the fib, right? Okay. So one, I've sang on stage with Carole King. Two, I swallowed a hanger when I was three. And number three, I've been arrested.
I'm going to just go with number two, straight up.
Number two, I swallowed a hanger when I was three. I'm sorry, Tim, but I really did swallow a hanger when I was three.
How do you even do that?
Possible. That's like some cartoonish shit.
So what had happened was I was in my stroller. My mom was shopping at some store. The hangers that are like the ones that you can take apart and like they're wire hangers.
Yeah.
Apparently my mom wasn't looking and I was like taking it apart and I just like started putting it down my throat and it got stuck.
Wow.
So I swallowed a hanger when I was three. So we had to go to the emergency room.
Oh, wow.
Get that taken out. But the lie was I've been arrested. I've never been arrested. I have been in the back of a police car, but it was not because I was arrested. Haley.
Okay. All right. So mine. Number one, I broke both of my arms at the same time. Two, I went out in one state one night and woke up in a different state the next morning. And then number three, I don't like coffee. I only drink tea.
This is probably hard because you don't really know her that well. Exactly. So I'm sorry for this, but
can you say them again real quick?
Yeah, of course. Okay. So number one, I broke both of my arms at the same time. Or number two, I went out one night in one state and woke up the next morning in another. Number three, I don't like coffee. I only like tea.
I'm going to go with number one.
Number one's the lie?
You definitely went to sleep in one state and woke up.
She definitely did. Definitely.
You're right. That is true.
I don't know you, but...
Okay. No, you are incorrect.
We have to go over that story.
Okay,
we'll
tell that story another night. But I did break both of my arms at the same time when I was 12. And I had like casts up to my elbows, like
Oh my god.
I literally couldn't move. I need to find photos because it was horrible. I probably didn't let anyone take photos, but I'm a coffee addict. So that was the lie. I don't even really drink tea.
That was the lie. That was such a, like, you fooled me on that one. Cause that was so boring that I was like,
exactly. Yeah. That's the goal. I think you make the lie super just average. So you think that that's like a truth.
Yeah.
And then make the lies a little bit more elaborate.
For sure.
Okay. Now you know a little bit more.
I mean, the truth's a little bit more elaborate.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sitting.
Was that stupid or was that fun?
That was great. I feel like we need that kind of game from the deep talks that we just had.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
I'm trying to,
you know, space things out a little.
I'm trying to come up with a, is this peachy by any chance? Peachy something? Peachy?
You can make it as dirty as possible.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Whatever you want. We have the explicit symbol on our podcast. I'm scared. These are going to be good.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I think I'm ready.
Yay. Okay.
Okay. Tim, wait, it's your
the
turn.
The problem right now is that I actually have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 6.
Ooh.
That's a lot, but I'm down to change the rules.
Yeah. So are there only one that's false?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Damn.
Go them all?
Whoa.
That's next level. Yeah. Let's
do
it.
Them all.
All right. Okay. 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 So one time do you have a word for when you're, you know, when you're in the loo and you're pissing like across, like you're two people and you're
crossing streams.
What is crossing streams? We call it sword. We call it sword
fighting. Sword fighting or crossing streams. Yeah.
Okay, same thing. One of those two. So I think sword fighting is better. So once
I already know this happens.
This has to be true.
Once I sword fought with Usain Bolt. Once I slept on the floor for 5 days in a shopping mall. I pissed my bed until I was 13 years old.
Damn.
Wow.
I wet my bed or whatever. I played ping pong with AJ from the Backstreet Boys and beat him. I've been arrested. I stole yours, Kevin, but whatever.
I believe it.
And the last one is I did a full orgy once back in California.
That's true.
I fully believe that one's true.
Am I your best guest or what?
Absolutely. 100%. I was so ready to have you on the show. I'm so excited.
Okay, I have no idea which one's false.
I almost feel like you really did cross streams with Usain Bolt.
100%.
But my other thought is, why in the world would you be in the same room as Usain Bolt?
Okay.
I believe that you beat AJ at ping pong because you would probably be in the same room as the Backstreet Boys, but not Usain Bolt.
I'm torn. I think that the lie is that you were arrested. I don't think you were arrested. I fully believe that you were sleeping on a mall floor for 5 days. I fully believe the Usain Bolt and AJ and the orgy. I believe all of it.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Okay. So the lie you think is arrested. He got arrested. I think that it's crossing streams with Usain Bolt.
All right. Final answer?
That's my final answer. What is the correct answer?
Da-da-da-dum. You are absolutely not correct. Any of you. The lie.
What?
Okay, so I did actually cross streams with Usain Bolt, and I slept on the floor for 5 days in a shopping mall. I pissed my bed until I was 13. I beat AJ's ass in ping pong from the Backstreet Boys, and I have been arrested. Here's the lie. I haven't done a full orgy in California.
God damn! I fully believe that.
Mind you, in California.
Okay.
All right. It's the little details.
It was a little detail.
I missed it. Damn.
Wow.
Five facts. Oh, yeah. One fib with
five
Tim.
Five facts and a fib with Tim. So, Tim, your album came out just a little bit ago. Congratulations on your first debut album. It's doing incredibly well. We were listening to it this morning. I love it. Our favorite song is, what is it? High Water. High Water is my favorite
song.
That's
one of my favorite. I mean, they're all good, but right now, today, in this moment.
That was our favorite one this morning. But congratulations. How was it making this album? How long did it take you? What song are you most proud of? Give us everything.
Well, first of all, it took me
15 years.
Yeah.
18 years.
Oh, wow.
And I'm saying that because the whole process in my head started when I was 15 or 16, and I'm 33. And so, and I, my biggest goal was always to have an album out. And, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden I found myself in the era of being an artist where it wasn't actually like a thing to put out an album. So I went through whole that whole like era where you didn't put out albums. So just I would singles. Just I would just start putting out singles. And that whole journey for me was crazy. Like I put out so many different shit, like so many different genres and so many different singles. And I just didn't really know who I was as an artist. And I was kind of just trying to like throw things at the wall and see what would stick. So coming to the point in my career, and especially coming to the point in my life where I actually felt like I knew who I was, I knew what kind of songs I wanted to actually make. That was the time where I was like, okay, it's time to put those songs on an album. And it was, the whole process was like, I started with like, I think 300 demos, of songs that were potential for the album. Yeah.
Wow.
It sounds like something you like, it sounds like something you did back in the day. You would have like all these fucking songs and
it somehow out of all of those songs, the song we wrote made it as a single.
Yeah, it's a single. Yeah, for sure. And I
pretty,
think
pretty neat.
Like, yeah. I think for me, just like finding a way to like figuring out how I wanted to sound instead of standing, like, speaking of Backstreet Boys, you know, like I grew up listening to Backstreet Boys and all my other, like my bandmates back in the day, they were like Beatles and they were Radiohead and that kind of cool mm-hmm. shit. And I was just like super commercial and very poppy. And so I've been just so confused in my upbringing in music, been super confused. Am I a serious artist? Am I just a super commercial TV reality kind of star, or what the fuck am I? So it's just been very Jekyll and Hyde, or like it's just been so split personalities with music for me. And it's been very frustrating, actually, not knowing where you're supposed to put your hat or
preach into the choir.
Yeah, you know, like
right there with you.
And for a long time, I always hated the people who were like trying to put me in a box or trying to like be like, hey, you're too much this and too much that, like you need to pick a genre. I always hated those people. And I still to some degree do, because I do feel like we need to actually just do whatever we want as artists. And that's why we're artists.
Yeah.
But I still think that, at least for me, when I finally felt like a certain when the pieces to the puzzle actually like they fit and it's like, okay, I felt like I found out who I am as an artist, and that's how the album came together out of these 300 songs, and I found this thread of consistency and it became what it is today. And it the whole recording of the album took like 2 months, 3 months maybe, like during the summer of Corona. And that's how it all came together. And it just feels like you're coming home, and you can feel it's like falling in love, and it's, you know, I'm not frustrated anymore. I know that I'm just in love, and I don't have to ask myself, so are you in love really? Or, you know, it's a good place to be, and it feels great. And it took a lot of time, but it feels like it's worth the wait.
Absolutely. Well, that's amazing, because I'm in that same spot right now as far as creativity and trying to figure out who I am as an artist. And it's been a constant search. But I feel like I'm finally getting to that point where I now have a group of songs that I'm ready to put out into the world. And I think they all are very cohesive together. Yeah. I definitely did not have 300 demos, but I had maybe 20.
but you wrote probably like close to 100 songs at least, like, sure, you know, in your lifetime. And yeah, again, like, just because now that, I don't know if it's weird for listeners, but this is pretty inside, just because you and I, we know each other, but I also feel like me watching your career is always, again, Like, I've always been pushing you and been like, yo, when are we going to hear something? Like, when are you going to become the star that you're born to be? Blah, blah, blah. And you're so good, Kevin. And you're so like amazing. And you're the most talented fucking kid I've ever seen in my entire life. But that somehow also becomes this sort of, an artist and as you, that becomes a sort of, well, thank you, Tim, but what am I going to use that for? Am I just going to go home and feel great about the fact that Tim from Denmark told me I'm a great, you know, like I'm a number one in his book? Like, you got to find your own sort of, you got to find home in your own heart, and you got to feel good about that. You got to feel good about that. And that's when other people are actually going to stop actually saying, hey, why are you not putting out this shit? Like, I don't need to. Like, you're better than just sitting at home and not releasing. You know?
For sure.
You know, like, yeah.
But there's a process behind it. You know, if I had the songs ready to release, I would be all for it. It's, I think, just kind of the same process as you. Like, I'm taking a minute to really figure out, like, what do I want to put out into the world, and what do I want? How do I want to present myself as an artist, and what do I want to say in my songs? You know, they're all things that are important to think about. But after a while, you just kind of have to pull the trigger and just do it and put it out. And so that's what we're going to do.
Are you scared?
I'm a little scared. Yeah.
It's always scary doing what you want to do. Like, it's so much easier to just do something else that you're not like nervous about because you're not super passionate about it. But when it's something that you've wanted to do your whole life and you're so passionate about it, it's tough. It's scary. It's scary to take that leap.
And that's why you got to come up with a way to figure out how can you actually lower your own bar, and how can you make that not feel as a failure? Like, you know, like, find your own successes. And like, my biggest fear with this album was that it was going to be, this is going to be a nasty fucking analogy, but my biggest fear was that it was going to be like a fart, you know, like it would feel nice for a second, and maybe a couple of dudes in the room would be like, whoa, dude, you know, and then it would be over. Whoa, dude. You know, then it would be over. Nah. Like, you know, it would just pass like a freaking fart.
Well, that's the fear, because you put so much work into it. Right. You want these things to stick around. So
you gotta find out why you're doing it. Like, you gotta find out why you're doing it for yourself. Like, why for am sure. I doing this for myself? You know, what's that journey for me, and what's actually my goal? Because I feel like 90% of all people think that their goals is what other people's goals are for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, one thing we ask every guest that comes on is, what would you tell your younger self when you were first starting out your career in music? What's one piece of advice you would give to younger Tim, or to artists that are starting out? I know it's a big question.
I think that's such it's a cliche question, and it's a great question. And mm-hmm. it's a question that we're going to have to keep asking everybody for the next 200 years of artistry. I think I want to like turn it around and actually be kind of anti about it, and actually tell my 15-year-old self that, yo, Tim, if you don't make it before you're 18, like, you can just lay down and die. Go and get it. Because if I had known any of the struggles or the hardship or the fact that it would take such a long time to feel at home in your own music and actually succeed with it, like, I probably would have been so scared that I wouldn't even have tried doing it. So a big part
absolutely
of succeeding with your shit is putting on these, your, what do you call it? Your
blinders.
Or your rosemary glasses.
Oh, rose-colored
glasses. Rosemary. I love it.
Rose-colored glasses.
and just be so naive that people will think you're fucking stupid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? That's the goal. That is the goal.
It's also kind of goes hand in hand with just living in the moment and not thinking too much about the future. Or that's something I struggle with. I'm always worried about the future. And it's so something COVID has taught me is just like, day by day, live in the moment, like, stop worrying about 3 months from now and just worry about where you are right now, because you're never going to get this moment back. Just like what we were saying with, once you get to where you wanted to be, it's like never good enough. Like you just want the next thing. So just being, living in the moment is a huge thing too when you're going after your dream, because you'll freak yourself out if you think about all the places that you aren't, or like that you haven't done yet. Like,
for sure. And just know that whatever rush you're going through, if you're actually succeeding at a age of 21 or whatever, that rush is going to feel so much better when you actually know what you're doing and what's going on. And the only thing that's going to help you actually experience it is growing up. You know, so just know that at some point you're going to grow up and you're going to do what you're set out to do. If you have the patience, that is.
Yes, right. Exactly. Tim, thank you so much for coming on and giving us your wise words.
I feel like I was shouting the whole way through.
Thank you guys so much again for listening this week.
Thank you.
We had so much fun. Oh, big thank you to Tim. Thank you to you guys. And thank you for supporting us and listening and following us on social media to see all of our little sneak peeks that we do when we announce our guests. And don't forget to send us your best worst pits for the month, and we'll read them next time. That should be really fun, because sometimes we can't think of our own.
Yeah.
So
we want to read other people's. We want to feel better about our pits. Yeah.
So send yours in and we'll shout you out.
But this has been another episode of
And That's That on That. We'll see y'all next month.